Well, let me put my horse over here somewhere. I'm delighted to be with you. I thank God for you. Your pastor and you folks have been more than just a blessing. You've been an inspiration and a blessing, and many, many other contributing factors to my life in these years that we've known you. Many things have changed since I last saw you, and though we may not always understand the changes that God does make in our life, we know one thing, one great truth: He never makes a mistake. The Bible said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And I have peace in the knowledge that these things that are happening for His glory and for our good. And so I'm glad to be with you. I appreciate you asking me, Brother Charles, and giving me the opportunity to be here where I feel some of God's greatest men have stood right here. And that humbles my heart when I think of this great fact. Many of you I've known for many years. I've saw your children grow up, and now then their children are growing up. I'm so glad to see them. I rejoice in this fact. The message this morning, I would say it's baffling me, but it's not. I know that God, again, I say, is not making a mistake. Some time ago, I don't recall just how long now, but some time ago, I was studying, and God gave me, I think, one of the most simple messages, and my messages are always simple, that I've ever had. And the places I go over and over, I'd like to preach something maybe that I'd like to preach, but God keeps bringing it back and bringing it back and bringing it back and bringing it back. And, you know, I found out I never argue with God. There's just no need. And so some may have heard the message already, but be that as it will, again, God said, that's the message for today. I was in a great, great audience just a few nights ago, and God said, that's what I want you to preach. And folks, I was amazed at the preachers, deacons, singers, pastors that were coming to the altar even before the message was over. You could hear sobbings and cryings. And God is using the simplicity of what I'm about to bring to you that may show you some areas in your life that need to be corrected. Hello? Don't tell me you don't have any, because I can tell by looking at you, you do. You do. We all do, don't we? We all have areas like that in our lives. Sometimes we're rather reluctant to change them because we're at ease in them. We're settled down and everything's going just hokey-dokey. But you know, when God begins to dig around us with the preached word and the truth, it's hard to settle down then, isn't it? You say, well, now, Preacher Blue, here I am, a figure of the community, of the spiritual community. I would not dare to go to the altar. You need to go. Amen. You really, I'll give way right now if you want to come on. because you definitely need an altar trip. Amen. Why is it we become so afraid of going to the altar? What a precious place to go. What a wonderful place to go. And you know, this should not be the only altar. You should have one at home, one where you work, one in everywhere, amen? A place not only of just repentance, a place to just talk to the Lord. I remember one time saying, well, I talk to the Lord while I'm driving. A little boy came up to me after service and said, do you close your eyes? I assured him that I didn't. And he seemed to get great relief out of that. But anyway, today I'm delighted to be here. Brothers, I count Brother Lawson as one of my dearest, dearest friends. And I thank God for him and for what he's meant to my life and how he's helped me so many times. And you folks are very fortunate to have a man of God like this in your pulpit. You really, really are. I think sometimes some of the greatest, the largest number of people that I know take God's blessings for granted. Should never be done. Thank him, praise him. Give glory to him, honor to him, and lift up his name and say, thank you for all the blessings you've given to me. All right. I want to thank you for your prayers. Most of you, and many of you know, on March the 5th, my wife was called home to be with the Lord. And I know you've prayed. So many of you asked me how I'm doing. And I said, by God's grace, that's the way I'm doing. I'm finding a new life. I'm learning to work some in the kitchen. Don't you be and laugh, boy. I make a mean bowl of oatmeal. I think that's a great achievement for me. No, I mean a big bowl. Brew a good cup of coffee. I do know this. I found that my memory is becoming even worse than it was, if that's possible. The other morning I was preparing my morning meal, my oatmeal and my coffee. And you know, my little coffee brewer has one of these little cups with a little paper down in, you pour the coffee in. You got that? How many of you got one like that? And I was getting everything ready. I was getting the water ready in the little pot set up here and getting my coffee ready. And I put the water in here and I said, now where in the world is my coffee? I've set it down somewhere. And I'm looking all over. I couldn't find my coffee. Guess where I found it? It was in my hand. Okay, I'd like to taste the coffee you make. But that's how bad my memory is. I got to sing a song the other night, and so help me, I got about halfway and forgot it. So I started three times before I got it, but I did get it. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, please. Great Sunday school lesson, Brother Lawson. Great. Revelation, please, chapter 2. I want to read the latter part of the verse. Thank you for standing. The latter verse of Revelation 2, verse 10. I want to read the last part of that verse. I've said to you already, without apology, you'll be, I think, stricken at the simplicity of what you may have overlooked, or we overlook. Be thou. That's you and me, amen? Be thou, what's that next word?
Faithful.
Say it again.
Faithful.
Louder.
Faithful.
Be thou faithful, how long?
Unto death.
Unto death. And then he tells us about the reward. And I will give thee a crown of life. Isn't that wonderful? Out of cranky engine, you know it. Now, Father, help me now as I once again bow to your will to bring a message that I preached over and over and over. Seem like you want it today. I know you do. I pray, Lord, that you will bless it and use it to the intent which you're sending it. May it be a time of refreshing. May it be a time of bowing at your feet and saying, Lord, that's right. Oh, God, help me now and give me that anointing, that touch, that unction from on high. I pray that you'll give me that, your blessed will. Give me freedom. Let me preach. Give me strength. God, give me strength. Give me strength today. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Be thou faithful unto death. I guess one of the stronger words that we could have used today would be faithfulness to God. Faithfulness is a powerful, powerful word. But he said, be thou faithful. Never said to be thou successful in all your endeavors, but he said, I want you to be faithful. And then as God began to give me this message, I saw the light of where he was leading my heart and my thinking to. In our lives, our everyday lives, we find great neglect about many things that we should be faithful to. Amen. And I just want to share these with you. I want to lay these on your mind and heart and help you to realize, cause you to see, there are some areas that we have, as I've said already, neglected so bad. The first thing that I saw that day when God began to give me this, so many times we slip into a place of neglect for prayer. Hello? Prayer is a Sunday morning thing. Prayer is a now I lay me down to sleep thing. Prayer is something we use when disaster hits. Am I right, Brother Wolf? Prayer is something when our children go wrong. Prayer is something when we ring the phone with a nervous finger and say, pray for me. But I believe all of you will agree this should not be so. In fact, God said, don't wait till the disaster hits. He said that. But he said, I want you to pray always. Hello. Oh, now, preacher, I couldn't go around and crawl around on the ground praying. A prayer ought to be in our hearts daily. Not just when a son or daughter's involved in an automobile accident and rushed to the hospital or flown there by a helicopter. Prayer is something that our pathway should be bathed in. Amen. One of my blessed songs that I like. Sweet hour. Did you hear that? You did hear that, didn't you? Sweetheart. Hold on now, mine goes like, sweet 5 minutes. Did I get too long? Oh, we couldn't dare pray 5 minutes, huh? Sweet hour of prayer. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me my Father's throne. There's where I make all my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, oh, my old soul has often found relief. Sweet hour of prayer. Oh, that time when you take hold of the horns of the altar. That time God said the effectual fervent red hot prayer availeth much. You know why you're not seeing your prayers answered? They've turned into prayers. There's no begging and weeping before God, holding on to God and said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. My daddy was sick, oh, so sick. The neighbors made up money to, in those days, way back, to get the doctors to come out and visit him. He hadn't spoke. His eyes were already in process of sliding back in his head. We'd take water and wet a cloth and drip it in his mouth. He hadn't spoke. The doctors told me and my mama in the yard, he said to my mama, your husband will be dead in the morning. She thanked the doctors and they drove away. But she told me, said, son, I'm going up here on the hill. And talk to the Lord. I saw as my mama walked through the broom sage. How many of you know what broom sage is? A broom sage field to the hill. I saw her as the moon rose over the mountain and her hands slipped down in that broom sage patch. And I heard a voice crying out, oh, God. You know what mama was doing? She was ringing the prayer bells of heaven. And she prayed, and after a while she come up out of that broom saying, going, oh! Oh! I walked into my daddy's room where he had not spoken for days and days. I took hold of the old iron bedstead and looked down at my daddy in the light of a kerosene lamp. He opened his eyes and said, son, is that your mama shouting? I'm not talking about a prayer. I'm not talking when you're praying about a Rolls Royce. I'm talking when you need to touch heaven. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you gather the family around an old place each night and said it's time to talk to the Lord? How many of you realize tonight, or today rather, the importance, the value of a consistent prayer life? There's what God's saying, be thou faithful. Not just an everyday, a casual stroll down through life, but a life that needs to have your daily walk bathed in prayer. Some of you have long neglected your prayer life. You said, I'm weak in my Christian walk. No prayer life. You said, I can't seem like it gets to going. I don't know. I'm just weak and I'm laying out of church. No! You're not praying like you ought to be praying. Now then, let me move on. There's another area that we should be faithful in. Old Brother Berman Cape was up here, was it not long ago, brother? Some time back. But he sings a song, he and his wife. Sweet, God's wonderful book, divine. What light is that shining? So brightly for me, that gives me such courage, the right way to see. What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be. God's wonderful book, divine. You said I read a verse in Thanksgiving or Christmas. No. Search the Scriptures. Ransack the Scriptures. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And he's not talking about the newspaper, magazines, sports books. He's talking about this book. Your children can talk about the size of an engine, the size of a tire. They can talk about fishing that. But oh, how many of them already can quote from this book? Daddies, mamas, how many times have your kids caught you reading and bathing these pages with tears? Huh? Well, you're not going to get me to the altar of that. Well, they'll know I'm not reading. No, God already knows it. Do you read? Don't, as Brother Charles said, don't insult my intelligence. I'm looking at in the faces of many of you that have grown lazy and diligent, and you've grown lazier by the hour in not reading the Word of God. You carry it to church. When you leave, you toss it up on the dashboard. You've already made up your mind. You're not coming to the altar. But God's going to twist you out of that hole you're in. You're not going to only start patting Brother Lawson on the back. You're going to start praying for him. I mean, lift him up. Said, God, take my pastor. Oh, God, help him. Give him more power. Do I hear amen? Amen. Searching the Scriptures. Then there's another place. I can't preach long. I give out. But I'm just, when you see me pause, I'm just giving myself time to get my breath. I found out that breathing is real important. You just got to almost do it on a regular basis, Brother Roger, or you'll wind up dead. Another area that we should be faithful in. Now, there's going to be some places you'll be tempted to walk out on me. But if you leave now, they'll know I'm plowing your corn. I couldn't pay you to leave, could I? There's another area that God said, be thou faithfully. What is it, preacher? What is it? I don't know many, many big words. I just don't. I'm a mountain man. I'm a redneck. And don't tell me that I don't have kin folks here. But every once in a while, I like to get on this area. We need to be faithful in the matter of the church in our life. The church. The bride of Christ. That group of folks that God said He loved, the church, and gave Himself for. He said, as God said, I want you husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. May I stop right here and just for a moment stop out? Miss Blue and I were married for 63 years. I want to give you men, you wives, just one little tiny piece of advice. Every day, I want you men to take your wife in your arms and say, honey, I love you. You wives, honey, I love you. See, neither one of you are no more perfect than you was when you got married. In fact, you've increased in your ignorance. That didn't hit my offering, did it? What I would give today to take my wife in my arms and say, I love you. Love the church. Love the church. The bride, the body of Christ. Here's my big word I'm going to throw at you. The ecclesia. The call out ones. Some of you are still in a habit of saying, this is the church. No. Never has been. Never will be. This is a meeting house. That's all it is. It's a place to get out of the rain. That's all it is. I said that's all it is. Oh, well, if that's not it, where in the world, what is the church? You're it. That is, if you're saved, born again, washed in the blood, redeemed from the fall of Adam. Amen! Love the church. Love it. In spite of all of its faults, love the church. And don't go around me, don't come around me saying, well, if so-and-so would leave, well, that might be true, but that's not your job to criticize and tell God what to do. Amen? Amen. What I'm trying to say as kindly as I know how, keep your mouth shut. I remember one time, people come up to you and have you sign their Bible. I'm glad to do it. But there was this one fella, he was just always blabbing, telling the false of this and blah, 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 here a blah, there a blah, everywhere a blah, blah. He come up to me and said, "I'd like you to sign my Bible, preacher." I did. And put the scripture reference where it says, "Study to be quiet." He never did read it. How do you know? The next time I saw him, he was still blabbing. Be faithful to your church. How many of you, I mean now, how many of you are members of the church? Come on, raise your hand. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, amen? Take your hand down. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the way you got that way, you came down forward, and you shook hands with the preacher and said, "We want to unite with this church and become members of it." Okay. If you did that, that don't mean you come once a month or two times a year. That means you come faithfully. When it's raining, when it's deer season, okay, man, get your head out from that pew. That means here comes first. See, your amens are good, but they're weak. In fact, you know, I have trouble hearing some of them. Is it that rough?
Blessing, Lord.
Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me move on. You're not going to like this. Some of you have deprived yourself of one of the greatest blessings in the Bible, and that's giving. Now, I'm not talking about to Benny Chicken either. Huh? Give me that amen. Some of you don't even tithe. When God says explicitly, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you do what? Come on. You don't want to quote it, do you? They buy store as God has prospered it. I remember when my wife and I were young Christians in a little bitty church, and they didn't much. They was in for the noise, not for the good. One night we stood in our Bible, reading our Bible, and we found in there about tithing. Yeah, it's in that book right here, ain't it, brother? It's right in there. I mean, Malachi's got it right there. And I said, "We gonna start that." And I thought my preacher just be tickled to death, but was going to start tithing. I told him about what we'd found, and he laughed at us and called us 10 sick Christians. Well, I was working in those days for 35 cents an hour, 12 and 14 hours a day, driving a truck. I never will forget. My dad drove for the same company. I never will forget. One morning I got there to go on the job. That was the morning we'd laid out. We'd paid our tithe off of the top, and we'd paid the tithe. That's God's tithe, not my tithe, God's tithe. And we'd put our tithe off of the top, and when we had left, paid someone some little bills. And what I had left to buy my lunch with all next week was 50 cents. Of course, in those days, you could buy a big moon pie and a dope. Now, I'm not talking about that kind you smoke either. I'm talking to Coca-Cola or something like that. Big old belly water. Well, My wife said, "You think you can make it on that 50 cents all week?" I said, "We sure can." Well, that morning when I went to go to work, they didn't have my truck loaded. So I walked down to the, you've heard me tell this many times, I walked down to the front door of the place, and here come a man with a cigar box on his, like this, with string, and didn't have no hands. And he had pencils in there. He said, "Mister, would you like to buy a pencil?" And all I had, that 50 cents. I said, "I'll take 50 cents worth." There goes my lunch. I walked, started back up through the plant, and the old boy walked out and said, "I don't know why I'm doing this. You don't have any idea." He said, "Just feel like I ought to do it." Said, I want to give you something." And he put, I believe, if I, it's been a long time, but I believe it was a $5 or maybe a $10 bill in my hand. It was a $10 bill, I think. Well, I walked back down to the door, and they still didn't have my truck loaded. Walked back down to the door, and here come a little girl up the street selling grit newspapers. You know what grit papers are? And she said, "Mister, they won't let me go in there and sell my paper." We said, "Would you like to buy a grit paper?" I said, "I'll take $10 worth." There goes my moon pie. There goes my Coke. I started to go get my truck. Dad come in off an early run and said, "Hey, a man told me to give you this envelope." And that night when we started home, he said, "What about that envelope?" And I forgot it. And I opened it up and he said, "Come by our house tonight." I didn't know the man. And I knew the address where he said it. I drove up to the house and knocked on the door. He come to the door and started crying. "Oh," said Brother Blue, "I'm glad to see you." He called his wife and said, "Hey, honey, Brother Blue's here." She was in the kitchen. She come in. They both told me how much they appreciated me, how much they loved me, and how, and I never will forget this. He gave me another envelope and said, "Now don't open this till you get home." That night when I got home, my wife said, "What kind of day you have?" And I told her about this strange thing. And she said, "Well, that's wonderful." And she, I opened the envelope and looked down in it. That's when I found out that green was my favorite color. Had George Washington on there, I believe it was George Washington, and hundreds on the corner. 1, 2, 3. It's all kinds of green. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to say something to you as best I know how. Why don't you go before God and repent of your stinginess and ask God to help you in your endeavor to please Him with tithing? And you said, "I'm not going to do it. How you know how hard I'm having? You don't know what kind of bad time I'm having." No wonder! He said, "Will a man rob God?" He said, "You've robbed me of tithing." Some of you, you look like you're getting in that attack mode. I better move on. Then I'm trying to hurry. I'm not going to get finished, I don't think. There's another area you need to be faithful in. Paul said, after having done all to stand, stand. Some of you fall too quick. You go down, get powdered up. "I'm not going to do that. That preacher's not going to tell me that. They're not going to do that." And you fall for any old crowd that comes along and knocks on your door. Hello? I say hello? You know why the Jehovah's Witness has their car parking lot full? Backslid Baptist. You said, "I don't like you." Well, hooray for you. The devil don't either. See, we're not only to be faithful when the sun's shining, but when the storm's raging. When we're in a valley. When it's night and dark. And many of your so-called friends have deserted you. He said, "Be thou faithful." I'll say no more there. Be thou faithful in soul winning or witnessing. Hello?
Amen.
Handing out tracts and telling people that you'd like to see them say. Last thing, and then I'll close. Let me give you a small example of something that I want you to practice with me. I'm not joking, I'm serious. Watch me what I'm going to do, and then I want you to do it. Are you looking at me? How many are looking at me? Watch what I'm going to do, and then I want to ask you to do it after I take. That's called breathing. Let me see how many of you can do it. I'm serious. Here we go. Keep on, lady. Why are you having us to do this ridiculous thing, Preacher Blue? How many of you thank God for saving you? How many thank God that you've got a home in heaven to go to? Oh, man. How many of you were able to do this? Where do we find our reluctance? If that be the case that you found out you were able to do it. God said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Some of you have never lifted your hands in praise to Him. Some of you are reluctant to even say a little tiny loud, amen. You go to a ball game and you scream and holler and raise your voice and you can't talk the next week, and you go to church and you're like a little mouse. Be thou faithful in praising God. You shout that man down that hit a ball over the fence. But when your man of God gets up here and knocks a ball out of the park, you ought to back him up with, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Am I right? Say amen. If you're breathing. Oh, dear folks, we've become so unfaithful. Not only husbands and wives become unfaithful to God. Hello? Here's an old man up here. I'm not looking for your sympathy. Please don't do that to me. But here's an old man up here that's about run his 63 years going down the road of traveling night and day, preaching all over the country and the world. I've about gone. I've about had it. Physically, I'm gone. My legs are weak. I'm tired. But I want to be faithful to death. One last verse. God said, thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee ruler over many. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Why don't you start going to an altar even this morning and say, right here's where I want to nail her down. I want to be faithful. I want to be that faithful Christian. Not that just, he's a Baptist or a Methodist. I want to be faithful. Some of your little old kids have never saw you make a trail to an altar. I want you to come to the instruments, please. Come to the instruments. I'm tired. I'll be here with you, the Lord willing, tonight. Yeah, you're doing right. I don't even have to make an altar call. It's the way it works every time. Now, don't you get up here in some little prayerette. You throw your pride away. Come on. Come on. Play softly. Play softly. Come on, folks. You know you need to. You know you need to. You know God's already dealing with your heart right now. Come on. Let's stand. Sing it. Come on. Walk that aisle. Come on. Oh, dear ladies and gentlemen, have you heard my message? Have you heard it? You mean God's not even spoke to your heart about nothing?
I surrender all. I surrender all.
We should be faithful. Keep on coming down the aisle. You can bow down the aisle. Sing a little verse. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Come on. If there's somebody lost, come here to Brother Lawson. Some of these men, they'll tell you how to get saved.
All forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender.
Our Father, this morning as we come to the conclusion of this message one more time. Many, dear Lord, have not responded to your dealing. Many, dear Lord, are going away defeated. Something in their life they have not been faithful to. Oh, God, help them. Then these that have come forward to bow at this place designated for prayer. May, dear Lord, they find great victories. May their lives grow and prosper in the will of God. I pray you'd have your way with them and their homes. And we'll thank you and praise you in that name that's above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. For the Lord.